Good morning, everybody. I heard a lovely phrase this week that we're wintering. Have you heard that phrase? It means it's okay to rest and to hibernate, to take things more slowly. And I thought, yeah, that's what I'm doing. I'm hibernating. I'm wintering. So I'll see you in March. But it's also good that we can have time just to think and to recenter and thinking about putting Jesus at the centre of all that we do as we've just celebrated Christmas, as we've come into a new year, and as we remind ourselves that this morning we've come to worship God, who always makes good on his word. In Jesus Christ, he has promised renewal, freedom, and eternal salvation. We read in God's word, all of God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ, with a resounding yes, and through Christ, our amen, which means yes, or let it be so, ascend to God for his glory. He has anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, and put his spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. And we give him thanks and praise as we sing number 564, Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. Joe doesn't want you wintering. Come on, Joe, go for it. Let's come to our Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. Creator God, we thank you that we can come into your house to worship and adore you, to praise you. We thank you that we have a reason to come. We thank you that we wouldn't just celebrate the birth of your Son at Christmas, but that we would carry that celebration throughout our daily lives. We thank you for all that you are to each one of us, for that you're with us in everything that we do, everything that we go through. We thank you that we can see your creative hands as we look around. We thank you for the cool, crisp mornings. We praise you for the snow. We praise you for the seasons. And we thank you, Lord, as we're in this season of winter, that we can rest. We can rest and prepare ourselves for the year ahead. We can recuperate from all that's been happening. Lord, you invite us into your arms to rest where you shield us and protect us. Lord, that's just not a one-off thing. That's for everything and any time, Lord, that we just need that touch from you. We thank you for this new day, the day in which we choose to come together as your family. We thank you that it is an opportunity for anything that you would have us do in your name. But Lord, that we can just worship and know you as our Lord and as our Saviour. That we come in freedom to worship. That it's a time to be with you, to recenter ourselves in you. Lord, when we go back out into the world, everything seems a rush. Everything's needed immediately. There's no time to find you and your peace. Lord, we thank you that in you we have peace. We have hope. We have joy. And Heavenly Father, we confess that in our pursuit of life, of good, we often miss opportunities to bring you honour and glory. We try to address our shortcomings by compensating for them, rather than orientating ourselves around your will. We seek what seems higher to us rather than what is holy to you. So Lord, help us first to seek your kingdom and to put your glory ahead of our own. Lord, as we think of our world and what we've just prayed for ourselves, Lord, we realise that your kingdom is not first. As we look around at all the disruption, all the protests, all the fear, Lord, that wasn't the world that you created and looked and said it is good. Lord, we do thank you for those who stand for justice. Lord, we ask your protection upon them. As we look at the news, Lord, and we see the problems in Iran and the US, in the wars, Lord, that we pray for continually to end, but still they persist, Lord, in the pursuit of their own glory. Lord, you command us to love our neighbours. And so, Lord, we ask you that you would give us the strength and the wisdom and the guidance to be able to do that, to see people as you see them, to listen, Lord, and to make time for one another. Loving, living God, be among us now Show us your ways. Guide our steps. Live in each one of us that we may be people of steadfast hope. Help us to hear your words, not just this morning, Lord, but throughout the week, challenging us to give you all the things that are yours already. Help us to remember that all we are and all we have are gifts from you. Gifts to be shared in service and love. Holy Spirit, come amongst us now, that we would receive all that you have to say to us today with joy, and that we would live your message with love. Amen. Let's say the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. So we'll continue in worship as we sing number 799, All I Once Held Dear. I love it when I sit down with God and say, what are we going to talk about on Sunday then? Some weeks it's harder. This week it was great. I started going down one path and then we started going down another. So I feel like I've got two preaches. So we get one this morning and one next week, unless God changes my mind again during the week. But I was thinking about putting Jesus as the center of all that we do. And sometimes we say, yes, we do that. Of course we do. But other times we just go on in our own sweet little way, don't we? Doing our own thing and then wonder why we mess it up. And as we got this time of wintering, we can relax and we can think about our relationship with God and with one another as his church. So we're going to the Sermon on the Mount this morning. I don't know if you feel like climbing a mountain with me. Sorry, what was that? You're wintering. Are you allowed to go out and exercise? Yeah, that's good for you. And we're going to think about how Jesus teaches that God rewards actions motivated by sincere devotion to him and not approval from other people. It's just past the part where he's taught us a very simple and authentic model prayer that we now know as the Lord's Prayer, or as I say, the prayer that Jesus taught us. And so I'm going to read it first from the NIV, but then also the latter part from the Message. So we're going to page 971, which is Matthew chapter 6, 971. And we're starting at verse 25, which is headed up, "Do not worry." "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you be worrying add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." And we all go, "Yeah, I know those words." Do we live them?
No.
So you're getting them twice this morning. So I'm going to go from verse 30, but I'm going to read the translation from the Message. "If God gives such attention to the appearance of wild flowers, most of which are never ever seen, don't you think he'll attend to you, take pride in you, do his best for you? What I'm trying to do here is to get you to relax, to not be so preoccupied with getting, so you can respond to God's giving. People who don't know God and the way he works fuss over these things, but you know both God and how he works. Steep your life in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. Give your entire attention to what God is doing right now. And don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes. It's much more direct, isn't it? So, going back to our wintering and our relaxing, it's good to relax in God. Our Heavenly Father knows what we need. All we need to do is pursue His kingdom and His righteousness, and He will take care of our needs one day at a time. And so as we think about that, and just so that I make sure you've got the message, because you've heard me say a million times, if I tell you seven times, there's a chance that you might remember. We're going to sing number 590, Seek Ye First the Kingdom of God. Let's pray. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as we've heard your word and now we hear your word proclaimed, we may hear with hope and joy what you have to say to each one of us today. Amen. I always love the small words in Scripture. I always call them the ifs and the buts. And we've got a big but today. But seek first the kingdom of God. In my Christmas Day preach, I challenged us to ponder on the wizard title, I Wish It Could Be Christmas Every Day. Yep, that was kind of the response I got Christmas morning as well. The majority were clearly horrified at the thought of having Christmas every day. And then I was asking you, had you already got dates in your diary, as I said then, for next year? We're now in this year. And had you transferred all your information over, like birthdays, events, etc.? A task that I do normally reserve till New Year's Day, but it didn't get done this year. And I explained at the time that many of us are event-driven people. We tend to live our lives from one event to the next. And as I said at the time, if you don't believe me, take a look at your diaries and your calendars. It is, isn't it? It's like, what am I? So I'm in church this morning, but what am I doing tomorrow? Who's already thought, what's going on this week? Yeah. Where do I need to be? What do I need to eat? And as I said, if there's a day or two that's got nothing in it, I don't know what that looks like, but if there is a day or two that has nothing in it, we say things like, nothing's going to happen today, or I'm not doing anything that day. Like, as I said, there's no life, nothing to discover or to notice, nothing to experience on those days. But that's not true, is it? We've been thinking about John chapter 1 at the beginning, that we've been sharing during Advent and beyond. John understands that Christmas is God continuing to give life, life in abundance to his people. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. How do we apply that to our daily lives? Why must we seek God first? As we shared last week in the new year, our Father wants to treat us with grace, to forgive our sins, to take away our guilt, for us to make a fresh start daily. He desires to give us strength for each day and to fill us with hope and joy and peace. That is why he pitched his tent among us. That is why we put God first in our lives. It means that Christmas cannot be limited to an event. Christmas is a life to be lived and a way of being. Depending on your own individual circumstances, the new year spreads in front of us 365 days of opportunities, adventures, and hope. Yeah, you look absolutely thrilled by that thought. Shall I try that one again? 365 days, less 11, because it's the 11th today, of opportunities, adventures, and hope. Yay. That's the one. We all have priorities, don't we? We arrange our lives, as I said, and everything in them according to our perceived importance. When we said Happy New Year to people, assuming that you actually did speak to anybody, what do we desire and pray for them, for one another, for ourselves? What did we add? I hope your heart may be filled with God's peace, with God's grace. I hope this year is a better one for you. I hope that you'll be blessed with all good things that God has to give, because that's what we've just read, isn't it? God wants to give us all of his best. Did we pause to give thanks for the year that had just gone and that God was with us every single day, hour, minute, second? Is it a new beginning? For some, the challenges and uncertainties remain, and each of us will face something this year. Getting through difficult situations is part of life. But we don't face them alone. We need to be positive. We've been going through stuff together in a place, perhaps, that we are better off than we were last year. Then we give thanks. And then we read God's word. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And as we've just sang, and all these things shall be added unto you. Hallelujah. We don't say hallelujah very much, do we? Let's try and be a bit more hallelujah-ish this month while we're wintering. So is that a command or an invitation, would you say, to seek first the kingdom of God? I'll let you ponder that. Invitation, command. Then some of you are going, I'm not going to say anything because she's just going to say wrong. It's actually quite nice, isn't it? But seek first. It feels very invitational. Actually, it's both. That's why I asked you. Because it's a really familiar verse, isn't it? And, you know, get the added bonus, we can sing along to it as well. And I want that to be your earworm for this week. But do we really understand it, or do we really live it out? Like any other lesson from Jesus, it must be understood in the context of the previous verses. Sometimes if we just remember things in isolation, we don't know what Jesus was referring to, who he was talking to, why he had to say what he said. And we know sometimes scripture can be misused. Sometimes it's been applied to suggest that God will supply endless material blessings if his children seek him first. But remember that it's what we need, not what we want. And sometimes we prefer to get what we want rather than what we need. But this is not it all. The context of these things are the basic needs of life and food and clothing. Jesus has commanded his readers not to live in constant worry about how they will obtain these, even if they don't know where the next meal is coming from. He wants us to trust our Heavenly Father to provide what is needed for his children, because he treasures us immeasurably. Instead, Jesus wants believers to use their God-given energy to pursue God's kingdom, trust in his righteousness, and leave it to him to take care of the basic needs of our lives. And so, seek ye first, the kingdom of God is presented as both a command and an invitation. It's a command in the sense that the way that Jesus actually spoke it, an imperative verb for all of you wordy people out there, is an invitation in that people have a free will to choose whether or not to follow it. So as a command, the original Greek word for verb for seek means it's a direct instruction or order from Jesus, as I said during the Sermon on the Mount. It's not an optional suggestion. It tells us three things. And when I wrote them down, I realised it forms the word pod. Okay, you can remember pod? Most of you don't look like you could remember what day it is. So the first one is priority. I said when we do our diaries, and we think about what our priorities are. So let's think about what God's are. The first emphasizes this command is top priority in a believer's life, suspending all our worldly concerns and anxieties about material needs like food and clothing and shelter. The second one, the O, obedience. Following this instruction is a sign of obedience to God's will and a commitment, the C word, aligning one's life with God's principles. And then diligence. It's another word we don't use very often, isn't it? Diligence. The command implies a continuous and diligent effort. It's not to be casual or occasional. We're called to an ongoing lifestyle of seeking God. So remember pod. Priority, obedience, and diligence. And you know I'm going to ask you that again sometime. But it's also an invitation, because if we draw upon what we know about our gracious God, then it's a gracious invitation from God, rooted in his desire for a relationship with humankind. That's why God sent Jesus to be amongst us, to dwell amongst us. There is that promise of provision. All these things shall be added unto you. The promise invites trust and assures believers that God will provide for everything if we prioritize him. But it's also personal choice. The invitation aspect highlights human free will. God does not and will not force people to seek him, but he does offer us that path to peace, purpose, and fulfillment if we choose to accept his offer. And God promises that those who seek him wholeheartedly will find him. We read that in the Old Testament in the book of Jeremiah. This promise serves as an open invitation, affirming that God is accessible to all who sincerely pursue a relationship with him. So in essence, it's a call to action after you've wintered, by the looks of it. It requires a willing heart to accept the promised benefits of a life centered on God and his kingdom. And that calls for faith, which is, as we know, a lifelong journey during which we learn much about ourselves and about God as we walk with him. We're not alone. Our paths are illuminated by the light of the world who journeys with each one of us. As long as we start the journey, then that's awesome. Each of us are at different stages, but none of us have yet reached our destination. It's good to look back over the year that has passed to see where God was at work, and especially if you've kept a diary or a journal. It's easier if we do it daily with thanks. God has done so much in our lives. Are we the same people today that we were this time last year? Even so, we're still learning and growing in our faith every day. Let's be amazed at how far we've come and celebrate because of what God has done in and through each one of us. We're always seeking, always following. We haven't got it all sorted. Our humanity will tell us that we have. And according to worldly values, but reality will tell us otherwise. And just as we think we might have it all sorted, God changes our direction. And so we need to be intimate with him in prayer and his word to notice and be strengthened by his Holy Spirit for the challenges and uncertainties that we will face. A new year makes us reevaluate what is important, who is important, our activities and our priorities that we perceived were important, both personally and through church, need to be prayed through again, daily. Along with that question, what have you got planned for me today, God? Perhaps we thought and still think that we're doing enough. But as we read earlier, God wants to gift us all these things. And we think, isn't that great? Listen up, good news. God wants to bless us even more and give us his best. That's why we keep seeking, we keep following, we keep praying. Seeking him first has got to be our priority for this year and for those to come. We can do nothing without him, except struggle on. Putting God first means accepting that he loves us unconditionally and desires to give us his best when we seek, serve, and follow him alone. To seek God's kingdom and his righteousness above all else means to live in the ongoing repentance from sin and to lead the heart-driven, devoted to God way of life that Jesus has been describing. In response, God will make provision for whatever it is that we need to accomplish his will. So how do we put God first? One day at a time. What does it mean to put God first? To truly put him first We have to let go of what others think and follow our hearts, because that is where God abides in believers. If we're not intentional in that, then it won't happen. So make an extra diary entry to spend time with God daily. We look with human eyes. We listen to the words of others, both criticism and encouragement, with our human ears. But the psalmist understood, the Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. Though they stumble, they will never fall, for the Lord holds them by the hand. If we constantly look to other people for answers and validation, then we need to pray above it and ask God to sort us, to help us, that we would look up rather than at other people and other things. Each of us can prioritize daily making our goal to have a deep, intimate relationship with God, allowing him into every area of our lives. After all, everything is his in the first place. As we live to please God, he promises to bless our lives. Those who put God first will stand out from the rest of the world. Jesus commands us in Luke to take up our cross daily and follow him, to obey his commands, and to love the Lord our God with all our hearts, with all our soul, and with all our mind. The new year spreads out in front of us, 365 days, less 11, of opportunities, adventures, and hope. This is God's new year. Remember your first love and all his promises. Whatever God has promised gets stamped with the yes of Jesus. God's yes and our yes together, gloriously evident. God affirms us, making us a sure thing in Christ, putting his yes within us. By his Spirit, he has stamped us with his eternal pledge, a sure beginning of what he is destined to complete. Amen. Let's pray. Eternal God, you call us to ventures of which we cannot see the ending, by paths as yet untrodden, through perils unknown. Give us faith to go out with courage, not knowing where we go, but only that your hand is leading us and your love supporting us. Amen. And so, as I was saying, we need to seek God first. So we're going to sing number 51, Be Thou My Vision, O Lord of My Heart. So I pray a prayer by Jan Richardson. May your life be a river. May you flow with the purpose of the one who created and called you, who directs your course and turns you ever toward home. May your way shimmer with the light of Christ, who goes with you, who bears you up, who calls you by name. May you move with the grace of the Spirit, who brooded over the face of the waters at the beginning, and who will gather you in at the end. Amen.